Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Monday, March the 22nd, 2021, 3:22:21, 15 minutes past the hour, and we now are in the season of spring, which has to make everybody happy. And I'm not going to go through this as we did last week, but depending on when you think spring came, it either came at 5:47 on Saturday morning, or it came yesterday, March 21st, but we had an equinox, and spring is here, and isn't it nice? And apparently the temperatures this week are all going to be very nice. I think we have some rain in the forecast this week, but other than that, the temperatures are supposed to be, I think, right around that 60-degree mark, which is not bad for the middle of the month of March. Now, a lot of stuff to talk about here this morning. First and foremost, I want to start out with this before we get into the more trivial stuff, because this is more serious. As many of you know, the man who does my introduction here every morning and who has done a lot of PSAs for us over the years, the COVID PSA is his, and a lot of promos for the station. And he has been with us here on Thanksgiving night. He has been with us here at Christmas time for the Christmas party. He's been to the anniversary party. He's been to the Clippers game with us. I've just had a long, long relationship with him over his period of celebrity, which is now just over 10 years. The man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. He announced he was running for president on this show back in 2015. So a long, long relationship with Ted Williams. And I was so sad to learn over the weekend that his companion for 18 years, I believe he had known her for 18 years and been with her for 18 years, passed away on Saturday night at the age of 60. She had had some health battles over the last, I'm going to say, 2 years maybe. And they just turned severe, unfortunately, and she passed away on Saturday night at the age of 60. Her name was Kathy, as you've probably heard Ted refer to her. And, of course, we have referred to her many times. She was in the studio with him when he was doing something. I believe he had even called her on the air a couple times and put her on the air. But we were so sad to learn that Kathy had passed away on Saturday night. Now, one of the reasons I want to talk about this is just to send our sympathy and best wishes to Ted, because it's a tough time anytime you lose somebody who's very close to you. And it really does put life into perspective. We worry about little things every day. We worry about the car not starting, and we worry about, is this going to go through? Is that going to go through? Who's complaining about us? What do we have to do? Well, death kind of puts everything into perspective. You can't fix that one. All other problems in life are fixable, but once you're gone, you're gone, and the people here have to deal with that, and that's a tough one. So we hope Ted... I spoke with him yesterday. He was very kind to call me right after he got the news that she had passed away, and I did speak with Ted on the phone twice yesterday. And he's doing okay. It's tough. It's tough. There's no doubt about it. He certainly is sad, in mourning, as anybody would be. But I think he'll be okay. He's got a belief system that I think will help him through this. That's what he was telling me. And I think he'll be okay. So we'll hear from the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, at some point, and remember his companion of 18 years, Kathy. Now, just to show you how fleeting life can be, how fragile life can be, I guess maybe is the better way to put it. Saturday, I went out and did some things, and I'm going to talk about this in just a second, but I was going to do an interview with Ted on Saturday because I was down in the Columbus area. And I had called him that morning, and he had said, sure, when you're down here, just let me know, and we'll do the interview. And it must have been Saturday afternoon, probably around 3 o'clock, I would say. But we got to Columbus, and I knew I was about an hour away from being able to meet up with him to do the interview. So I called Ted from a spot that I was at in Columbus about 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and I said, Ted, I'll be there in about an hour if that's good with you. And it just so happens that he was talking to Kathy at that point on the phone. And I'd known Kathy for about 10 years now. She'd always been at Ted's side when she could, except for the last 2 years when she had not felt the best. And so he had her on the other line, and he wanted to patch her in so I could say hello to her. And he did. And I got to talk to her Saturday afternoon about 3 o'clock, as I say. And, you know, she was clearly, by the sound of her voice, I could tell she wasn't feeling well. But she was making sense. I mean, I certainly could talk to her. So I had that conversation with her and Ted on Saturday afternoon, and was shocked to learn yesterday morning when I woke up that she had passed away the night before, Saturday night. So, you know, I got to speak to her the last day she was here, and I'm happy about that. But it just shows you how quick things can go, because I don't think that anybody thought it was going to be that fast. Because when I spoke to her, we then went to the interview location, which we went over there about 4 o'clock, and I called Ted, and he was late, and he told me he was late because Kathy was not feeling well. And I said, well, Ted, if you need to deal with that, don't worry about it. We'll just do the interview a different day. And that's basically what happened. So the last time I spoke with Ted on Saturday was probably, I'm going to say, right around 5:30, 6 o'clock, and we just had said, well, we'll do the interview a different day, and he could take care of Kathy and then learn the next day that she was gone. So that's how life goes sometimes, unfortunately, but we'll certainly remember her well and her many visits to the studio. And as I say, Ted not only came to anniversary parties and Christmas parties and things of that nature, and interviews when Kathy was well. Basically, up until 2018, she would always be by his side. So she was always at those events as well. So it's a shame to lose her, but we will remember her well. Kathy, the companion of the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And I know a lot of people posted on Facebook, because I put the notice that Kathy had passed on Facebook. And a lot of people put a lot of nice words, and I have relayed those to Ted, and I know he's very grateful for that. So that's the unfortunate news from over the weekend, and I'm sure Ted will be back very, very soon. He's a resilient, smart man, but it is tough to lose somebody in your life like that. Now, beyond that, now we're going to get in to the mundane of the morning. And this could only happen on a Monday morning. And I hate to start getting back into this, because I haven't had to do this for a long, long time, so I don't know what's happening. But I think I told everybody last week that I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday morning. I don't remember. But I stopped, as I do every morning, and I went to a place that I get a fountain drink from every morning, and have had no problems for the longest time. Well, last week I pulled in there, and I get up to the window, and the person working the window says, we have no fountain drinks today. And I was okay with it. To be honest with you, that day, I don't even know if I brought it up on the show. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But I kind of let it go because it had not happened in such a long time. I thought every so often everybody's entitled to a mistake or two or an issue or two. So I didn't even think anything of it. And I ended up getting on Center Street here, which is the way I come to work here in the morning. And I stopped at Certified and got a fountain drink there and came in and no big deal. So that was that. Now, here we are on Monday morning, and I will admit this morning I was running a little late. I don't know. I had a busy weekend, so I think I was a little tired from the weekend, but that's okay. I enjoy coming in here in the morning. So I get up this morning, and I'm running a little late, and I pull into that establishment on Mount Vernon Avenue, and there weren't many cars there. Now, that should have been a tip-off that something bad was going to happen. But I thought, okay, I'm pulling in here. And I waited probably 5 minutes to get up to the window. Now I'm running a little late, which that's okay. I still had plenty of time to get here. And I get to the window, and I order the fountain drink. And big surprise here, the punchline, they were out of fountain drinks again this morning. So now, in the course of 5 days, they have been out twice. Now this used to happen quite a bit. Now, I don't know what is going on with the machines there, but here we are again. So, this morning what I did, because I was running behind, and I didn't think I'd even have time to get into Certified, because sometimes Certified in the morning on Center Street has a line. I didn't think I would be able to park the car, get out of the car, go in, get my own fountain drink, go stand in the line, wait for the line, get the drink, go back out, get in the car, and drive away. I didn't think I had that kind of time this morning. So I thought, well, is there any drive-through between here and there I can run through really quick and get a fountain drink? And I got to thinking, well, of course, there is a McDonald's up on Main Street, and being here on the corner of South Prospect and, or I'll say Prospect Street, I don't know where it becomes north and south, to be honest to you. I don't know if it's at the end of the overpass or the beginning of the overpass. I'm not really sure. But being on the corner here of Prospect Street and Center Street, I'm really only about half a mile from the McDonald's on Main Street when I get to the Center Street-Main Street connection. So I thought, well, I'll go down to Main Street. So I go down to Main Street, and the punchline to all this is, I was sitting in the drive-thru this morning, because of course I turned on this radio station. I was sitting in the drive-thru of McDonald's this morning, right before the obituaries were playing on Main Street. So that's how close I cut it this morning. But I did make it here with about 3 minutes to spare because when I sat down in the studio, the news was just starting to play. So McDonald's on Main Street was very, very quick this morning and got me right through. And there were no trains on the track, thank goodness, on Main Street. And I was able to get here on time this morning. But the point of this story is that here we are again having problems that are continual. Now, I would think if you're a billion-dollar company that these problems would not happen all the time. Now, I understand things happen. But what I cannot figure out is something like fountain drinks. I mean, is the machine broken? I don't quite understand why it's a continual problem, because there have been problems at some of these establishments with the ice cream machine. Now, it's almost become a running joke with a lot of people that they pull up to get an ice cream cone or a flurry or something like that, and the person at the window will say the ice cream machine is broken, and usually the people in the car are saying, you know, when they pull up, chances are the ice cream machine is going to be down. And it is a lot, and I don't know the reason for that. Or they'll say it's in cleaning mode or heating mode or something like that. So I don't know how often that has to happen. In any event, I would just think that when it comes to fountain drinks, which are with all of your value meals, which most everybody gets there, I would guess, at some point or another, they get some kind of a drink. that's one thing that might be like a five-alarm fire if it's not working. And I wonder how many people going through the line, because it's a very busy line, are ordering value meals or value breakfast meals or whatever this morning, who have to be told, well, you know, you can get your pancakes, but you can't get any kind of drink with that. Or maybe you have to go to orange juice or coffee or something. I don't know. But I would just think that this would be an issue to fix. Does anybody agree with me on this? And again, if it breaks down once, I understand. I've had things break down. We've had things break down here. It happens. And you never know when it's going to happen. And sometimes it takes a minute to fix it. Sometimes it takes quite a while to fix it. But it doesn't happen. It wouldn't happen twice in 1 week, I would not think. Especially, again, if you're a billion-dollar company. Now, does anybody know anything about this or have anything to say? Or is there an issue that you have here in Marion that's very similar to maybe an establishment that you go to? Would love to hear your stories now that I have vented mine this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Just half past the hour here on this Monday morning. Don't forget, we've got mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lipp, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m., Voice of the People with Linda Sims from 4:10 p.m. to 5 p.m., and the Mike Wilson Show from 5:10 p.m. to 6 p.m. today, all here on WWGH Radio. But does anybody have problems with the service industry? Or is it just me? Am I the only one who has issues? And it doesn't even have to be an issue like this with fountain drinks. Do you have an issue, period, with how the service industry is run? And a lot of us have become more acquainted with the service industry recently because I think more people are eating out. They've got their tax money. They've got their stimulus money. During the pandemic, I think people found creative ways to eat out. Since you really can't go into restaurants anymore. Well, now that's changing. But do you have an issue with the service industry? Do you? And again, I know these people are not working for very much money, and I know that's a thankless job a lot of times. But I'm not blaming the employees here at all. They have nothing to do with this. I don't think they can fix the machine. I just don't understand the corporate structure or maybe the management that would allow that to continue to happen. Or you can just call in and tell me this is one big overreaction. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. We would love to hear from you. Now, the next thing I want to talk here this morning, And I won't mention any names, much like most other things on this show. When I see something negative going on, I really don't like to mention the person's name or the people's name or the business name because I just don't think that's necessary. You know, if it's a true statement, I don't think you have to try to embarrass somebody. But I want to make a point because I think as a city and a county, the county and the city of Marion, we all want to try to be better. I don't think anybody wants to try to be worse. I think we want to fix our problems and we want to go forward. Now, when I am at meetings or I read newspaper articles or I see press releases that are sent out from people, they're always very positive, especially from business owners. They're always just very positive, and we're going to bend over backwards for people, and we're going to make this work, and we want to see everybody flourish. And you know, that's pretty much the sentiment that you get from people when something is being announced. And they give these people awards. You know, it's really interesting. By the way, every community might do that or do this, but I think we give more awards in Marion than maybe other communities do. I think per capita, we might give more awards out here than any other community. And I'm, see, here's the thing about awards, and I'm not against awards, but I'm not really sure what they mean. You know, if I don't really understand what some of these awards even mean. You know, I think I kind of get it sometimes when the award is being described, but other times I have no idea what the award's about. I don't know why we're recognizing the person, and not that they're not good people, a lot of them are, but I'm just not sure. Why is it in our society that the way to promote somebody or maybe thank them, which I think is what's going on here, is to give them some kind of award, some kind of lucite or wood doodad, plaque or whatever, that says your name on it? I don't really get that, to be honest with you. I don't know what that means. And we've had this conversation before on the air. A lot of times, what it basically means is that you gave a lot of money to something, which I am not altogether comfortable with. Because a lot of times, what it means is you gave a whole bunch of money, and in return, they're thankful that you gave the money, so they're going to recognize you by naming something after you, or giving you a plaque or a brick or something like that. And I just don't know about that. I just don't know. Because, I mean, people can do it. When I say it's not my thing, that's just me. But I'm not really sure about that, because what about the people who don't have a lot of money, who are still doing good deeds? Because I think sometimes it's a lot easier to do a good deed if you have a lot of money. If you got $1 million, it's probably easier for you to give money, which in turn gets you recognized. Now, there are people who their checking account runs in the negative. Now, how are they going to give that kind of money? Yet, it's probably harder for them to help out, but yet they make the time to do it. They do the effort, and nobody ever recognizes them because they have not given huge amounts of money. I don't understand that. I don't understand these awards being based in money, because if you ever look at a lot of these awards, and they'll be announced in the newspaper sometimes we even announce them on the news reports here, you'll always notice that the person getting the award usually is some kind of a business person, usually is some kind of a successful business person, and usually, 9 times out of 10, if you look at the story, they have given money to a cause. Now, again, this is not bad to give money to a cause. Causes need money. But do we need to recognize them for it? Because I'll give you an example. For many years here in town, the Red Cross used to ask me to work at the blood drives. I don't know if it was because I was on the radio, but that's when they started asking. When I first started on the radio, they would ask me to work at the blood drives. And I used to work at the blood drives over on, where was it? I think Alani. Is that where the American Legion is over there? I think there was used to be a blood donation center over on Alani here in Marion. And I would go over there probably once a month. I think they had it once a month. And I would work that blood drive for a period of hours. Usually, I would work in the canteen. Now, I think I did do the door a few times where you check people in and then you give them the I gave blood sticker. I think I did that a few times, but mostly I worked in the canteen. So people who were coming over after giving blood who did not feel so good, and even the people who did feel good, you would give them a cookie and you would give them some juice in hopes that that would help them feel better, and you would let them sit there a few minutes as to not get into their car and start driving until they felt right again. So that's what I did. Now, you know, there were a lot of people working there. There were two other people who worked in the canteen usually. And if I was working in the canteen, there was somebody working the front desk, sometimes two people working the front desk. And then you had all the people who were giving blood. Now, none of those people would ever be recognized. I never saw it. I guess I should never say never, but it certainly was not common. And they worked there every month. But if somebody came along and gave $5,000 to the Red Cross, well, that would be recognized. Who never set foot in a canteen, who never set foot in a blood drive and donated money, who never gave of their time. So that's why the awards to me are a little shaky. And also naming stuff for people to me is also a little shaky. Now, not to say you should never name anything for anybody. Because if you name somebody for something, if you name something for somebody because they deserve it, and it had nothing to do with money, it was just a vote, and we want to honor this person, fine. I think that's good. But if there was money involved that led to the naming of it, that I there's something about that that's a little off to me. So, but I know it's the way it goes, and I know sometimes the people who are doing this, they're not doing it with bad intentions. A lot of times they're doing it just to raise money. And for some reason, people like their names on things. In any event, the whole point of this is, this morning, that I see these people say good things. You know, oh, we're here to help. We're here to help, and together we're going to make everything perfect, and we're all going to go forward, and everything's going to be exciting. Well, not everybody is like that when a microphone or a newspaper reporter is not standing there. Now, again, I'm not going to say any names, but sometimes not only do these people not make it easy, these people pretty much make it very difficult to get things done. And will throw up as many roadblocks in your way as possible. Now, that's okay, I guess. If you are the business owner, it's perfectly fine to do what you want to do. But I don't think you should try to come off that you are Mr. or Mrs. Helpful. And there are different situations, and there are two sides to every story, but don't think, I guess what I'm saying is, be a little skeptical when somebody says they are so helpful, that they really want something to succeed, because a lot of times, if you run into them personally, you will find out that that is really not the case. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Maybe one day I'll expound more on that. Because I think if it's the truth, and if it's educational, and if it's a learning experience, which I think this is, I'll tell it here, because that's the purpose of this sort of radio. We're not about putting up false facades for people. But that's all I'm saying. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? I know this is something that people talk about behind closed doors. About awards and about people who give a lot of money getting things named after them. And do we really ever recognize the lower economic people? And are these people who praise and push for things to get better, are they really like that when push comes to shove, when it comes right down to something? Do they really act that way? I don't know. Some days they do, and some days they don't, I guess. But give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'd love to hear your opinion on this. 44 minutes past the hour here on this Monday morning. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. kind of quiet this morning. Maybe people are nervous to talk about this. These are observations that I make in life. Now, these could be observations that I make just because I'm a curious person and I observe things people do, which is absolutely true. And it, maybe it's why I like to ask a lot of questions, because I always like to get to the bottom of something, of why something is the way it is. But to me, these are questions that I have in life. Now, does anybody have any answers to these? Or maybe do you think it's okay? Do you totally disagree with me? Hey, if somebody gives a lot of money, name something after them. If you're not as nice in private as you claim to be in person, when it comes to helping other people and wanting things to succeed, is that okay? Is that just typical behavior of a society? And do you think Marion gives a lot of awards? Maybe that's just something that I have noticed. And I might be wrong. Maybe it just seems like a lot to me. But what do you think? Do you think any of these things are true or false, or have any kind of opinion on them? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I would love to hear from you. Now, let's see here. There was something else this morning. Well, over the weekend, I had a great weekend. Who could not have a great weekend with the weather the way it was? Pretty well all weekend from Friday through this morning. And this past weekend, what I did was, because I think most people know, I like to go to antique shops and thrift shops and Goodwills and things like that. Sometimes I think you can find very good things there, very interesting things that you could not buy in a regular store. So this past Saturday really turned into that. I went down to Delaware and Columbus with Angie, and we went to, I don't know how many it ended up being. We were in Delaware shopping around. We were in, let's see, where did we go? We were in Polaris shopping around. Then we were in downtown Columbus shopping around. And then we ended up in Hilliard shopping around, and spent quite a bit of time in Hilliard. Now, I do want to let everybody know that I ate a lot on Saturday. Saturday turned into the day of eating as we went to all these different shops. But I don't know how many shops we went. I'd have to count in my head. We went to a lot of shops, though. But we also, we started out the morning kind of easy. We went to, where did we go? Well, I guess we really didn't have breakfast, I don't think. I think we went for lunch to Wendy's for lunch in Delaware, because that's where we were. Now, that was very good. Wendy's, I had a very nice hamburger from Wendy's in Delaware, and I like Wendy's fries. A lot of people don't like Wendy's fries, but I do. So I had that in Delaware. Then we went on to the North Market, which is where we were going to interview Ted. And all the times I've been to the North Market, I've probably been to the North Market 4 times in downtown Columbus in the last 3 months. And every time I've been there, I've seen these pretzels, which are inside the door of the North Market right next to the restrooms. And they're like $5 for a gigantic pretzel. And I have always wanted to get one, but I've always been doing things while I've been there, and I've never really had time to look around or buy one of these pretzels. Well, the schedule was not as tight this past weekend, so I was actually able to get one of these pretzels at the North Market and sit outside and eat it. And boy, was that a good pretzel. Delicious. Could not have been better. So the pretzel was very good. And I think Angie had some baklava from there that she found to be very good. So that was what I did at the North Market. And then when I left there, we went over to Hilliard, and we ended up having dinner in Hilliard at what I consider to be a hidden treasure anywhere I find it, Fazoli's. Now, there are no Fazoli's here in Marion, and I think the closest one would probably either be in Ontario or Columbus. And we went to a very nice Fazoli's in Hilliard in Columbus. And I changed it up this time. I had been having the spaghetti with the pepperoni and cheese on top. That seemed to taste pretty good the last couple times I've had it. But this time, I went with the meatball sub, because I had not had one of those in a long time, and it looked good. And the way they do it at Fazoli's, it's kind of a combination between a meatball sub and a pizza sub. It does have meatballs on it, but they also put pizza sauce and mozzarella cheese on it. And then they toast the bun. And that thing was big and delicious. So big, I was so stuffed when I walked out of Fazoli's. I think it took going to three stores after I had eaten at Fazoli's that night to not feel stuffed any longer. And it's very affordable. That's the thing about Fazoli's that I think is great. They have great food. They have free breadsticks, and the breadsticks are very good. And it's affordable. It would be affordable for a big family to go to Fazoli's, unlike other places that have big prices. So that was my adventure this past weekend. And I did find a lot of things in these antique thrift Goodwill shops. I found some records that I'm into records, especially comedy records. I like comedy or spoken word records. I'm not so much into the music, unless it's kind of a unique music album. But I found an album that Johnny Carson had put out of best moments from The Tonight Show. I thought that was fun. I found Charlie McCarthy, Best of Charlie McCarthy Radio Shows. I found a record there that I can't wait to listen to, have not had the chance yet. And I also found Ruth Lyons, and many of people will know Ruth Lyons was a big television personality down in Cincinnati for a lot of years, and she put out three albums. She put out an album that was just a regular album of songs, and then she also did two Christmas albums. Now, I have found all of these albums now, but the copies that I found this past weekend were in such good condition that I just had to buy them. So I now have two copies of every Ruth Lyons album. And to me, that's more of just an Ohio thing to buy those, because I think they were rare in a certain way. So bought those. And other than that, let me tell you something I bought. Now this, I think I paid $1.50. But this is an interesting item. And I don't know if any of you have these at home. Okay, it's one of the wine bottles. It's a wine bottle. But of course there's no wine in it. There's nothing in it anymore to drink. But it's got I'm not going to say Christmas lights. I don't think that's what they are, but it's got a strand of lights inside of it that you plug into the wall and it lights up. And it's an interesting piece of decoration, I guess is what you would call it. Now, I came home, I plugged it in, it lit up, it worked fine, but what I will say about this is it gets warm. I had it plugged in for maybe 2 or 3 hours on Saturday night, and before I went to bed, I went over and I felt it, and the bottle was warm because there are lights inside this thing. So I unplugged it, and I didn't plug it in at all yesterday. So do I have to turn this thing on and off every night? Is it like a lamp? Because I figured it was something I could just leave on all the time. But when that bottle was getting so warm, I mean, I really don't know what happened. I don't think lights could melt a bottle or cause because it is a glass bottle. I don't think there would be any trouble there. But does anybody have one of these or know anything about this? Would you have to turn that on and off every night? Because I'm going to have to put it on a switch is what's going to have to happen, if that is the case. Because I don't want to be plugging in and unplugging that thing every night. And also, I got to thinking, as I was looking at it, you know, it is just a strand of lights in there. And I think it's drilled in. I don't know how you drill a glass bottle, but at some point, it's drilled in. That's how the lights are put in there. And I don't know how you would replace that. If the lights blew out, I'm not sure how you would replace those lights. I mean, you could put another strand in there, but I don't know how you would get them in. Because the way the plug comes out, I'm not even sure how they got it in or got it out. Because the plug is coming out through the hole that they have drilled in the bottle, but the lights are on the inside. And I don't think the lights would slide out of the hole, and I don't think you could get the plug back in that tiny hole. So I'm not even sure how they put the lights in there anywhere. Anyway, are there any crafty people out there this morning that could tell me how this thing was constructed, even if you don't have any? Because I want to know what I would need to do should the lights blow out in this. Because it is secondhand already. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any ideas on my bottle with lights in it, like Christmas lights you'd put on a tree with a plug on it? Do you think I need to unplug it every night? Or how would I replace these lights if a strand blew out? Those are my two concerns. You know, either people have no answers this morning. They don't know. They're as puzzled as I am. They have no idea how to fix these problems. Or maybe everybody's still asleep after the big weekend. 740-383-9944. 56 and a half minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Would love to hear what your answers are or thoughts on any of these subjects. A lot of big things coming up here on this station in April. You really have to stay tuned the next 30 days. I'm going to say between right now and April the 18th, there are going to be several big things happening. Three, possibly four, of which I think everybody's a lot of excitement. You know, during this pandemic, we weren't really able to do a lot, and not a lot really has changed in the last year. So to have this period, and it's just the way it fell, between now and April the 18th, where all this stuff is going to happen, and some of it's going to be work, but having it all come to fruition in the next 30 days is really going to be a lot of fun. And it's going to be fun announcing it to you and being here with you as it all happens, because it's just big stuff. Big, big stuff. So, again, any thoughts? Remember when they used to put ships in a bottle? Now they put lights in a bottle. No more ships in a bottle, lights in a bottle. How would you change the lights if they should burn out? And do you need to unplug this thing every night because the bottle gets warm? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a call if you have any thoughts on any of this. Now, also, do want to say that Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp will be on this morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., then Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and The Mike Wilson Show, 5:10 to 6 p.m. today, right here on WWGH Radio. And we will just all send good thoughts tonight to the place where I get my fountain drink in the morning and hope that they are back up and running to full parity tomorrow morning. Because I would hate to have to come in here and have this conversation again and say for the third time, this place is still having trouble. By and large, it's a very good place. I have very little problems with them. But recently, there's been a little bit of a problem. in the last week. But hopefully, we'll iron this all out. There was a word, I only have less than a minute here. There was a word I was pronouncing on Friday that I'm going to talk about a little here, hopefully, before the morning's over. And pronunciation, however you want to say it, it's become an interesting topic here. So we will get into more pronunciation issues of a certain word, and maybe talk some more about the stuff we've already talked about as the morning progresses here on WWGH Radio. We've got news and weather coming up here, and then we'll be back in about 15 minutes.
WGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio. For Emmy Award-winning actress and voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, sharing her experience of being in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
One of the big traditions for a lot of people is Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.